And you're in the house of the Lord, and there's something to be excited about. That thing always frightens me. All right, well, my wife and I would thank you for the way we've been received here. We really do feel at home. This is our second home. We take it as a privilege to come to you once a month. And obviously we pray for you. I've just been getting a settled feeling in my heart lately that next year you will see growth. Now don't determine what that means. I'm not going to tell you, you know, I hope so. But, you know, whatever that means. But I just get the word growth. Because I think you get what you believe for. I'm going to get a cold. Guess what you're probably going to get?
Cold.
You get what you believe for. And if you don't believe for nothing, guess what you get? Exactly. So you make choices. I'm not talking arrogant and presumptuous. I'm not talking that kind of foolishness. I'm talking that we should believe for growth. The increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. In me, in us, in the world. So that's not the message for today, but I just feel that Val and I really want to pray that you'll have a blessed and wonderful Christmas, all right? You excited about that? I love Christmas. I am the Christmas person. I am. From when I was a kid, you know, 4 o'clock in the morning, and yeah, so I haven't changed. It's exciting. Thank God for his indescribable, inexpressible gift. That's what the Bible says. Our text is Matthew chapter 2 and verses, we'll start at the beginning of Matthew chapter 2, but really 10 and 11 is what you want. But you knowing me, it'll take me a while to get there, alright? We'll start with Augustine. It always sounds profound when you can pick on something, doesn't it? Augustine said this, our hearts are restless until they rest in thee, until they rest in God. Our hearts are restless until they rest in thee. So today's message is entitled, Wise Men Seek Him Still. Alright? Easy one. Or the Eternal Quest. Ecclesiastes, my wife often quotes this one, chapter 3 and verse 11 says this, that God has set eternity in the hearts of men. People don't know what they're looking for. That you've all been saved since you was this side, but some of us took a while to come to Christ. And before we came to Christ, we may have had a bit of a interesting life. But why? But why? The eternal quest. We were looking for something. There must be more than this. You know, who would, I don't know, go out and party and do whatever you did and then come back and think, well, if that's it, what a shame. Really, because we're looking for something that can only be found in the eternal. Because God has set eternity in the hearts of men. There is something in me that cries out to know, why am I here? What was I made for? Why do I exist? I'll tell you why I exist. Because I'm going to take you to the Westminster Shorter Confession, which says this. What is the chief end of man? To know God and enjoy him forever. Why was I made? I was made to know God and enjoy him. Now, I get a bit fed up, you may have noticed, with people who call themselves Christians and got a face like a wet weekend in Brighton. Honestly, I cannot be doing, how you doing? All right, under the circumstances. Get out from under the circumstances, you're saved. Amen. Oh, I just am struggling. How can you struggle? I'm not sure I'm going to make it. Well, die. If you know how the thing's going to end, why mess around? Just call quits, pull the curtains and go home. Seriously, I get cheesed off. Those of you, I get upset about Christians who don't enjoy being Christians. They'll tell you, oh, we used to party and we used to be wild. And I've got to say, and they say, what's wrong with you? That's because the Bible says, lay hands on no man speedily. God has set eternity in the heart of men. So firstly, very quickly, if you wanted to take notes, God sets a desire in there. But secondly, he also draws us. We're not coming around to the wise guys. Where is it where Jesus says it? I've got it in my notes anyway. Yeah. Stop rocking and I'll get there quicker. That's the one. John 16. That doesn't sound right. It's not. John 6 and 44. No man comes to the Father except by me. But how do we'll get to Jesus in a minute, but how do we come to the Father? He draws us. No man comes unless the Father draw him. Think of the wise guys now. Come around to them. Keep them in your mind. It takes a while to get there. First bit then. Matthew chapter 2, and round about verse 2, it says this. We have seen his star in the east. And we've come to worship him. Now, well, people come up with all sorts of stuff about the wise guys, and I don't know what the answer to that is. Whether they were kings, princes, astronomers, that doesn't really matter. All I'm saying to them is this, to you is this, that God showed them something that drew them. And God shows you things that draw you to himself. God speaks a word and you come closer to him. You meet somebody who testifies, you come closer to him. God draws us. When we were dead in sins and trespasses, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1, he made us alive. We could do nothing because we were dead. But God in his mercy drew us. Can you say amen? You should get a bit more excited or I shout a lot more louder, you know that.
Amen.
Amen. That's good, I can live with that. I'm going to cut a bit of this out because I've run out of time. But, no, because I've got a lot more to go. See, they saw the star and rejoiced. The danger in that is to be shot there. Or what happened? But that's not the chief end of man. Since I've become a Christian, I've got a good marriage, or my children are going on with God, or my grandbabies, some have been baptized, I'm happy, my finances, or I don't want more, but it's still alright, I'm healthy. Don't you just stop there? That's not the chief end of man. The chief end of man is to know God and enjoy him. You were not made to be happy. You were made, I always say sometimes in church, I'm not here to make you happy, I'm here to make you holy. Yeah. And the danger is so often we just settle for being happy. See the star. Alright, so good. Alright. So, the chief end of man is to know God and to enjoy him forever. Prove it, Ken. Genesis chapter 3, and is it round about? Well, it's Genesis chapter 3. And they heard the Lord walking in the cool of the day. We're making fellowship now. To know God. The sad thing about it is this, that when they heard the voice of God, my wife said, I've got to preach over this side as well. It's just, Andrew, he draws me. Let me just teach you a lesson. Lesson one. So, we have a fellowship with God. Isaiah 59 and 2 says this. Your sins separate you from God. So, yeah, because your iniquities, your iniquities separate you from your God, because your sins are no longer you. So, But what's the first thing that Adam and Eve do? Well, yeah, you can get it. Three things that you do and I do depending on. They hear. My dog doesn't know where you are. But they did, didn't they? Second one is, they made a covering for themselves. They sewed fig leaves together. They covered up. I will hit your car if you don't park outside my house. It's your fault. And the third one, of course, is the blame game. You gave me, well, that woman who you gave me. If you hadn't given me that woman, she would have eaten that. Well, she would have been the tree, I would have eaten, we would have seen. It's your fault. Just an incident. Your sin separated from God, but God's heart toward man has not changed. And if I had more time, I could walk you through how he still reaches out to humanity. Exodus 25 and 8 is where you're going next. I will get to it once, but we're going to teach you a bit, and then we're going to preach a bit, and then we're going to, time in the house of the Lord, right? So, Exodus 25 and 8, let them build me a sanctuary that I might dwell among them. Hallelujah. So now God is getting closer to man. Even though man's sinful, God makes a way for him to dwell near them. And if I had more time, and maybe next time I might do that for you. Let them build me a sanctuary as a consecrated place, a place set that I might dwell among them. Now this place is really interesting. It's in a compound. And this compound, if I remember rightly, is 150 long by 75 feet wide. White linen. Why white? Why always talks about holiness in the Bible? If you go to the book of Revelation, then you'll find out there. But it speaks of separation. This place was a consecrated place. It's separate. Notice, into God's holiness, there was only one entrance. It was called the gate. What did Jesus say to you and I? Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the way that leads to destruction, and narrow is the gate that leads to life, and difficult. Yeah? I'm not going into God's holiness. Your good works, your whatever, will not get you in. None is righteous, no, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Your righteousness are as filthy.